Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So we thought we'd use another case study that's been shared with us by the pensions funds adjudicator. One that actually shows that there has been a fraudulent syndicate that recently received money from a pension fund, but was using the real details of an individual who was actually imprisoned. So this tells us a lot. South African citizen who's worked hard, sitting in prison, doing their time in terms of corrective action, but unfortunately having their pension essentially being fraudulently withdrawn. To tell us more, we join on the line by the pension fund adjudicator, Mubango Lukaimane. Dimadegwa nabudi. Makazi.
Ah, orini.
Ah, kakati ya unandovu wa jwabodi. Dotaka.
Yes, no, you are very good.
Thank you. I'm glad to be improving and you're witnessing the outcomes. But I'm not too sure if I should be happy, especially given the story we're going to talk about, because it highlights the very fraudulent nature that we're witnessing in terms of pension funds in South Africa. Maybe let's just start there by taking a look at the rise or the growth or the concern of syndicates impacting pension funds in South Africa.
Well, I must say that we have seen an increase in that. This story is not an isolated one. This incident that happened in this case is not an isolated one. And it would seem as if, as you can see, at least in this story, there's confirmation that it is a syndicate that was involved from the bank side. So in the other instances, you would know the issues would happen either to members, a few members in a fund, or it would be happening with a particular bank. So it would seem as if people are targeting pension fund members for fraud.
And this is concerning because, as you say, it's a deliberate target. So it almost seems as though they have ways within which they source your information, know who your employer might be, and I guess find loopholes in the system. Talk to us around some of these concerns.
Yes, in some instances, it happens with dormant benefit accounts. So you'll know that in this instance, the person was in prison. Therefore, it was easy for someone else to be able to see that there are no contributions going in there. The benefit has not been claimed. Therefore, the benefit then became a target for fraudsters. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens when people are still in employment. And in those instances, we always advise members to say, please make sure you get an annual benefit statement. If your fund has got an online place where you can check how your benefit is growing, do that. Yes, it might keep you anxious as you see it going up and down with the market, but at least you know that it is still there, because in certain instances, it's only when you come out that you find out that someone has claimed. When you want to retire or resign, you find out that someone has claimed your benefit.
And you raise such an important point here, where South Africans work hard, they seek employment, they have savings that have been allocated, but they maybe forget, or life happens, whether it's a death,
yes,
or in this case what we see as imprisonment. And I'm hoping you can help us understand,
yes,
using this case study around imprisonment and how this activity took place.
One of the biggest protections that pension fund money has is that pension fund money can never be paid to a third party. Even if you are a couple that have a joint bank account, you cannot say that one day when you retire, you cannot say, please pay into our joint account. So pension fund is really, really, pension fund benefits are protected. They have to go to the owner and to no one else. So in this instance, the employer did notify the fund to say, this person has been imprisoned. And they no longer work for me. The employer partially completed the form back in 2016, but the fund could not process that benefit out because the form was incomplete and also there were no supporting documents. Now, one of the things that the fund was aware then that this person was in prison. So when the activity started 2 years later, when other people were now trying to claim the benefit, the fund still asked from the employer about the whereabouts of the member. The employer still confirmed that the member is in prison. So at that point, then because the fund was not going to process anything, the fraudsters then got some form of an affidavit that they said was completed by someone in correctional services, and also now there was suddenly also this bank account. First of all, with affidavits, people must always be careful, because in this instance, when we looked at the affidavit, I mean, it was not signed, it was not date stamped, there was no... So the affidavit itself didn't even rise to the level of being an affidavit. So the fund's own checks and balances let them down.
And I'm assuming this is something that would need to be prioritized by, is the word, the principals of the fund or the...
Yes, the administrators. Remember that with the fund... The fund will hire an administrator, and then the administrator will be the one that is receiving the contributions and paying out the benefits and investing the monies. So in this instance, it is clear, I do use the words reckless, because if you actually look at the manner in which the documents were completed and everything, you can just see that something is amiss. And where the fund provides you, the member, with a withdrawal claim form that indicates sections on it that are compulsory for you to complete, yet the same fund turns around and processes a payment where those compulsory fields are not completed. Then why have those things if you are not going to insist that they be completed? So it was the withdrawal benefit form, it was the bank account itself, where they knew from 2016 to 2018, they were aware that this person is in prison. So how did they figure that this person opened a bank account and was able to submit the confirmations of the bank account when they were in prison? And if indeed there was intervention from a correctional services official, that affidavit didn't rise to the level of an affidavit. So it should have had them looking at the case more closely. They didn't do that. Yeah. They paid out an amount of 800,000 odd to a fraudulent person. And when the owner of the money came out and started claiming, then we looked at the whole case and we found in favor of the member to say, well, the fund was negligent in paying the wrong person, and the fund must now still pay the money to the correct person. Because it is the fund that was defrauded, not the member. And I think in certain instances, people walk away when the fund has been defrauded in their name, because they don't know. As a member, you can either go to the police, yes, but you must still insist on the fund paying you your benefit, because the fund is obliged to pay to the correct person. So yes, if it doesn't pay a benefit to the correct person, then the fund has not paid the benefit, and therefore you are still owed. What the fund does with the liability is up to its own processes. It's something else altogether.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because I think sometimes we approach pension funds from a fear point of view, right? As someone who's been contributing, you typically do that through your employer, your HR department. So we typically don't even fully comprehend the relationship that we have as a contributor to the pension fund. And I'm hoping that you can iron that out for us, to know our rights, our roles, and our responsibilities, and the recourse that we can follow, as you've highlighted. So can I, as Gugu, go to my pension fund, question, probe, challenge, and even evaluate the validity of either my contribution, but also perhaps that of a loved one, checking that on my behalf, should I be, I don't know, otherwise engaged, out of the country, imprisoned, or upon my passing?
Yes, if you, they will also always only give the information to you as the member. Mm-hmm. But if you if the member has passed away and the beneficiaries come looking for information, they must provide them with that information. Of course, you can also still give someone a power of attorney to act on your behalf in relation to your pension fund. Therefore, and then that person would be able to access information on your behalf. It's actually quite sad because we are quick to give powers of attorneys to our financial advisors when they want to check whether we need to invest more or if we need to move our money around. But we don't think that we can actually do the same for a loved one to be able to keep tabs in case something happened to you. And where this was, where we had a stark reminder of why we needed to do this was when COVID hit and people were suddenly in hospitals. They couldn't act on their own behalf. Some of them were aware that they might not make it. And when they tried to make alternative arrangements with their pension fund, they couldn't do it because they couldn't sign documents and no one else could act on their behalf who was not out. So if COVID has taught us something, it's actually that one lesson that it is prudent to have someone else who can act on your behalf if you are incapacitated for whatever reason.
How do I elect or appoint this person, and what documentation needs to follow?
Well, you can just sign a general power of attorney, and sign that and keep that safe in a safe place, witnessed properly. It will have two witnesses properly, and you have been of sound mind or whatever, and completed that. It's really a simple document. It doesn't even have It doesn't have to be more than one page, and you can just list. You can give it as a general for anything, say my finances, my health, my whatever, or you can make it specific for your finances only and then give. Because, you know, sometimes with family, one person might be good to act on your behalf for health and another one for monies, and you might want to split some of those things.
That's very true. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it does mean and speak to a level of trust and independence that you're actually going to hold this person accountable and trust them to act on your behalf. I'd like to come back to the theme that's been underscored by the case study we're reflecting on today, and that's where there's a pension fund member has their funds claimed, whether fraudulently or in other ways. But how do I, as a member of a pension fund, then raise a challenge against the fund or to the ombud or an adjudicator like yourself to say, hold on, I, Kukuletu, I'm not very happy with my pension fund because 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been a challenge. So how do we manage those discrepancies and complaints?
Yes, the Pension Funds Act requires that you first complain to your fund. So they will probably come back to you, and if they are an honest fund and they've looked at what they did, they might say, "Oh, let's just pay out." But if they don't, then you can come through to our office, which is the Pension Funds Adjudicator's office. We will investigate on your behalf, and then we will investigate on your behalf and then make a finding that is binding on the fund. So, and our services are free. And if you complete the complaint form and maybe we find that something, you haven't managed to explain your complaint correctly, we are able to assist you to better outline what the issue is. So we really do hold the complainant's hands in trying to get them to properly articulate their complaint and then deal with it.
100%. I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it does help in terms of providing guidelines. I'm keen and intrigued to find out, in this particular case where someone is imprisoned or I guess in a different country, How?
Yes, we do get people that are in different countries also. There are some people, for example, that might have, there are some people that might have immigrated and suddenly, you know, they have left their money. It used to be that they could leave their money in Reserve Bank blocked accounts and those can be paid in over time. The Reserve Bank has been relaxing some of those exchange control regulations. But as long as you are a member of a pension fund that is registered in South Africa, it doesn't matter where in the world you are, we will assist you with your complaint.
Perfect. And it's our responsibility as well to make sure that we do get a pension fund benefit statement, right? Typically every quarter, end of the year as well, to make sure that we do see the growth on our pension fund contributions.
Yes, that is very, very important. That is very important. Also, to check on your details. You know, sometimes funds make make a small error. For example, the other day I just had a look at a benefit statement coming through for me from one fund, and then I realized that my son's birthday, instead of saying the 22nd, was saying the 2nd of February. Those things are important because suddenly say I'm not there, people present their ID books and then they find that an identity number is out by a digit or so. And instead of things going smoothly, people must now go up and down. So it's very, very important that you check whether your beneficiaries are listed correctly, whether their details are there in full, their contact numbers, because also at the point of where you are not there as a member, so many things happen. I mean, in our office, the third highest number of complaints that we deal with have to do with things that arise when a member has passed away. And that is quite out of 9,000 complaints that we get per annum, that's a very high number in terms of of just what happens when people, and that's the things that we see. What about the things that the people that don't bother to complain?
So true. And I think this is so important and a big lesson. We typically hear about it, but again, we have the time now to do our best to actually fix it. What I'm keen to understand, death is obviously quite a clear scenario, and the paperwork needs to follow, and the clarity in terms of the beneficiary listing on our end needs to be clear, updates to that person's personal information, and making sure that they themselves are also aware that they are beneficiary and that there's an existence of this fund in order to claim. But the individual who goes to prison or perhaps travels abroad and perhaps no longer contributes, sometimes we hear of individuals who are contributing in one way or another to a retirement or a pension product, and they told that they won't be able to actually receive further claims or, I guess, future further payouts from that particular investment contribution. Does that play a role in any way to some of the fraudulent activity where people just think, I left the job, I don't think I can claim, I have to wait a while? And I'm asking this knowing that we have a two-part system coming up in September, but maybe we can park that because it brings about a lot more complications.
No, you are very right in terms of what happens with certain people and in terms of just knowledge of what happened. I mean, just this last week, I did a complaint where we were asking a person, why, if you left service 10 years ago, why are you only raising an issue of claiming now? And they said that, well, I was told that they left at age 55. And then they say, well, I was told that I will receive other money when I'm 65. And that used to be something that people were told, that, no, you don't have to take your money, you can come back for it when you're 65. Yet the person had already reached early retirement age and they could have taken their money way back then. So it is important that people also get to know the different benefits that their funds provide, and at what stage? If you are disabled, what is it that you can get? If you are, because also disability is one of the things that is very problematic in terms of claims. People don't lodge their claims on time, and most claims are just denied because the insurer was not notified on time. And when you look, you see that the person is really totally permanently disabled, but because the notification didn't happen on time, then the insurer can walk away from the liability.
My goodness, there is so much to learn. Thank you so much for your time this evening, ma'am. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, Emobango, but Ndolebuanga Manda, Emakadziwanga, you've really been a great help. Thank you so much. That is Mobango Lukaimane, who's the pension fund adjudicator, helping us this evening fully understand how to mitigate the fraud and syndicates that do typically participate within the pension fund space. As you've heard, what you and I need to make sure we do is, firstly, make sure all your necessary documentation and detail is up to speed and up to date. Make sure it's correct and accurate, including and especially the listing of a beneficiary. So if your money is going to a family member, a loved one, a spouse, a child, make sure that it's adequately listed there with their correct information. Make sure that you also, allocate power of attorney to the right individuals that you can trust to act on your behalf should you find yourself no longer in a frame of mind to actually execute on these schemes. To make sure that no fraudulent syndicates do actually get their hands on your money, make sure that you do receive a pension fund statement. Quarterly is typically when pension funds do share them. That gives you an update of your balance. Yes, it might be up and down. Regardless of the balance, though, at least you know your investment is there. It's there. And this is also where you can build a relationship directly with the pension fund to make sure that you've got your details in order, that they are aware of your existence and the way within which you would communicate to them to avoid any fraudulent activity. Should it take place, report, engage, consult, and of course make sure that you reach out to the necessary authoritative officers to assist you, like the pension fund's adjudicator. All is not lost. Even in the case of death of a loved one or someone who might be arrested or immigrated to a different country or imprisoned, I guess is the correct word I was looking for. There's always an answer. There's always a solution. And we're always happy to take your questions and direct you to the right channels here on Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.